Good morning. Today is Thursday, April the 20th. We'll just say it that way. April, not a numeral, 20th. Well, you know, I wonder if those clowns are even doing that anymore now that it's legalized, recreationally and medicinally. They don't have anything to protest. I guess we'll just have to find out if they were true to the cause, protesting for legalization, or if they just were using it as an excuse to get high. Hey, it's 420, let's go out and get loaded. I guess we'll know at the end of the day, won't we? Am I just a little facetious? Joining us this morning from Eureka City Schools, Michael Davis Hughes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
And you guys on the watch for any out-of-character celebrations today at the high school?
It is just another day.
Just that.
And it's spring vacation for our school, so, you know.
We don't have to
think about that.
That explains the rain. You guys take the day off and it rains. You sure nobody's working today? I see sun.
Oh, no, there are plenty of people working.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Oh, our quote this morning comes from Adrienne Rich. If we could learn to learn from pain, that's it. I think it's an excerpt from somewhere else.
Yeah. That's profound.
A little too deep for vacation day, huh? Oh, pardon me. A non-school day.
There you go.
Oh, boy. A lot of times we forget as parents, grandparents, kids, if you have kids who haven't gone through, or if you've got little ones they haven't gone through yet, some of the rites of passage springtime means. Mm. You know, when we were going through college, it was signing up for fall classes. It was about the time of the year you have to take care of that. You got finals, et cetera, et cetera. And that's probably the lasting memory many of us have. What does springtime mean for you guys? What, budgets are done. Well, yeah. At least with an asterisk on it, waiting for the governor. What does this time of the year mean?
Yeah, well, we're just embarking on our testing season. So our 3rd through 8th grade students and our 11th grade students are taking the CASP testing, which is the California testing system for...
Nice attempted cover. You know, if you hadn't hesitated, it would have been so much more believable. California testing. Okay, good. We'll go with that. Is this the one where they talk about standards? The level of, are our kids getting the proper education, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the testing system has changed in recent years. We now have not just the high-stakes testing that they had in the past. You know, when the test, everything rode on that one test of the year. Now we have multiple measures, multiple ways of schools being held accountable. And that's through the new Every Student Succeeds Act of the ESSA that replaced the No Child Left Behind or the NCLB.
Okay.
We're on acronyms, aren't we?
I'm going to have to go and check out the alphabet. It's 819. Yeah.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes from Eureka City Schools. Okay, now you got your definition of CASP.
I did. I got it down.
Why don't you nail it so
California
everybody knows?
California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress.
Yeah, who?
It's CASP. It's got a double A and a double P.
I kind of feel like we just ended up on one hee-haw. A salute. Okay, fine. What does it mean to the schools? What does it mean to the kids with these tests? Is this just a day of interruption of instruction? Or do the kids have something at risk with this also?
Yeah, I believe they do have a lot of risk because not only are we looking at this one test as a measure, it's part of a broad accountability system that we have in place now. So we're not looking just at state testing. We're also looking at things like school climate, so suspension rates. We're looking at chronic absenteeism. So those kinds of things provide us with a kind of a multidisciplinary view of student performance. The other piece is that we're now being held accountable for a growth model. So we're looking for improvement as opposed to a one-shot deal of just looking at that one test.
Is that per kid, per school, per grade?
Per school.
Per district?
Yeah, it's looking for the school, the district as a whole, and then any significant subgroup that you have. So those significant subgroups include all the race or ethnic groups. We're looking at English learners. We're looking at students with disabilities. We're looking at foster and homeless youth. So if you have 15 students in any one of those, 30 students in any one of those categories, or 15 students if it's homeless or foster youth, then that is a significant subgroup in terms of accountability measures. The other piece is we're looking at graduation rates. So when you're talking about what's in it for the students, you know, we're responsible for making sure that students are college and career ready. And this is one piece. It's just a litmus test. It's just a dip in the paint for us to find out where are we at? Where are we at this year? Where are we at next year? Where are we going to be in the future? So it really is that continuous growth model for us.
Or at least it gives you a historical trending.
It does.
One way or the other, so that you can make corrections. You said graduation rate. And I know in the past that the definition of graduation rate or dropout rate, depending mm-hmm. on how you want to, you know, what side of the coin you're looking at, is something that is really, at that time, was more of a throw at the dartboard than anything else. Because let's say student Bob, the student as a freshman, comes into Eureka High, and after the third semester, middle sophomore, he's no longer at Eureka High. Mm-hmm. He goes off the radar screen, and it's counted as someone who goes against the graduation rate at Eureka High.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, he could have gone to Arcata High and graduated with full honors, but it counts against Eureka High. He could go to San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. And he's not graduating from Eureka High. He could go out of state. He could drop out. He could take the GED. He could do all kinds of sorts of things. And the communications weren't in place to know. And I don't think anybody, let me step back. Many of us don't care what the graduation rate is. We care about the kid that's a freshman. Did he graduate?
Mm-hmm.
Has that reference changed to follow the kid rather than the school district?
Yeah, so with that, we're talking about the four-year cohort group, right? Those students that start at freshman, they may start at Eureka High, or wherever they start, do they graduate? So it's incumbent upon us to find out where that student is. And there are better ways of tracking that than there used to be. Now, granted, there are some students that go off the radar and we cannot track them down. But if we can, and we can determine that they go to Arcata or San Luis Obispo or wherever they might be, and they do graduate, then that's not counted against us.
How about New Mexico?
Yeah.
You can find them there too.
We'll,
okay.
We'll get a CUME request, a cumulative records request for a student.
Yeah, the student file.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so we're able to determine where that student is.
But there's no overarching, like with a social security number, track the kid, see where he is,
there
and
is.
See
yeah.
if he graduated.
Yeah, there's a student ID number.
That would be. And that's a number you get that's a national?
It's a state student ID number.
Okay.
But we can still track students if they go out of state.
Somehow it seems bizarre that you would have to make an effort, even.
Yeah.
That should just be the case if the focus really was on the kid.
Mm-hmm.
in all the various school districts throughout the country.
Right.
Rather than some of the other areas that get focus.
Sure. Yeah, we look at individual student reports, and that's what matters to the student. That's what matters to the family. It matters to us as well as the school district. But we also have to look at, summary of whole school data.
Yeah, what about the flip side? Somebody transfers in their senior year and they graduate.
Yeah.
Does that help balance that other one off? Is that a plus? Or do you give it back to that credit back to the school where they came from?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's not balanced against, because we have sometimes have more students leaving than we have coming, more students coming than we have leaving.
Yeah, depending on the population flexing.
Exactly. Yeah. The important thing is, does that student graduate? So, regardless of which school they originated from, do they graduate? And it's it is counted for that school that they started from, the originating school.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes from Eureka City Schools. Michael, you mentioned testing.
Yes.
And that you've got the state stuff. Now, the ACT and the SAT and the UC test, all that kind of stuff, those happen in the fall, but they also happen in springtime as well, don't they?
Yeah.
How critical is it for a non-senior take some of those tests?
It's important for them to take it. It's not as critical as it would be. You know, the time's running out, right? So if you take them early, you have that opportunity to retake. It buys yourself a little time. So, don't procrastinate. Don't wait till the last minute. And it's the experience of going through it as well. And that's what students need. It's not just sitting down cold turkey, taking it for the first time. That's tough. Even if you take a practice test, it's not the same as doing the real thing.
Now, when I took the ACT, of course, history wasn't quite as developed as it is today. it was one that you could take, and if you didn't put it through the uprights, you'd take it again.
Yeah.
And take it again and take it again, and because there were so many different ones in rotation, mm-hmm. You got the idea. You could take the best score and use that one as the one that was reported. Is the goal of the testing a snapshot, or to really understand the student's mastery or a little bit of knowledge of subject matter? What?
I'd say it's a representation of the student's mastery of the subject. Yeah.
So when the kids are taking your CASP tests,
yes,
those are one time only, right?
Well, they take them, like I said, every year, third through eighth grade, right. And grade
11.
So if
I tank in two of my six tests, do I look bad on the ones that aren't and look like I'm a reformed student on the ones where I kick butt?
Yeah.
So you track the kids into – I'm wondering why one set of circumstances is applicable for one kind of test, the ones that really count, yeah, the ACT, SAT. And it's not applied across the board for the other ones, for those kids that might have anxieties around tests or misinterpret something.
Yeah, we do on those CASP tests. It is, a snapshot of that year, but we can look at that student growth over a period of time. Now, remember, it's only right now in English language arts and in math. And we're doing a pilot test right now in science for students in grades 5, 8, and 10. But primarily, we're just looking at grades, you know, 3 through 8 and grade 11 for that English language arts and math test right now.
Good. All the ones that I bombed in. Where's history, man?
Social science is coming in. It's in there. We're not testing it in the same manner as we are English language arts and math right now.
You know, I kind of had that sense all along, too. Nobody really cared about history. As contrasted to some of the other subject
matters.
Yeah,
but you know, Brian, one of the interesting things is when we're looking at some of our local accountability measures, one of those in terms of college and career readiness, actually that's a state indicator, but college and career prep is we're looking at how students are doing or access that they have or are they taking career technical education classes.
Oh, really?
CTE classes.
As good points.
Yeah, it does. It does. So there is some of that vocational ed that is part of it.
Is there flexibility for what used to be referred to as the college-bound student to take any of the vocational ed classes and still punch out the classes that they need for the UC or for the state college?
There are CTE options for some of the core academic areas, for example, in science. So many of our students are taking, my daughter being one of them, ag science rather than taking general science.
Or marine biology or something like that. So you can kind of specialize in some of those areas, have it recognized.
You can.
Are those still two class hours or the equivalent of two classes?
Ooh.
Or are they just a one? That was the other challenge historically. Is, you know, if you're an auto shop, say.
Yes.
Well, by the time you get greasy, then it's time to start cleaning up. Well, that's not going to get you too far in getting into whatever the projects are.
Yeah, it's one-to-one correspondence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So is there more pressure on developing more of these career tech things so that the kids have a chance maybe to sample something at the high school level and not get lost or get behind?
Yeah. It's something that we vigorously support at Eureka City Schools is the, you know, we have the most comprehensive CTE offerings in the county. We understand that remember, the idea is to have students college and career ready. And we understand that being career ready means that we need to have students who have a skill set that goes beyond English language arts and mathematics so that they can enter the workforce as a skilled individual.
Life ready, perhaps? That might be shooting a little high, huh? All right.
We hope so.
Here's a goofy one, and it was not the case when I went through in the mid and late 70s. Home ec was an elective. Shop was an elective. If you were going on after high school to a non-military,
mm-hmm.
There were some vocational schools at the time, but not nearly as developed as they are now. You couldn't take either of those classes because you get left behind. You wouldn't be able to qualify.
Yeah.
Is home ec moving into one of those career tech, not the traditional 1940s definition of a home ec, but nutrition,
yes,
chef, all those types of things now that are these areas that people are paying a lot of attention to. It's not learning how to scrub dishes
mm-hmm.
and make, you know, pie crust and things like that. Is there a redefinition or reevaluation of what some of the class material that's taught is these
yeah,
days?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, culinary, for example, part of our career pathway through CTE. We have an outstanding culinary offering through our high schools, both at Eureka High School and at Zoe Barnum Continuation. In fact, they've got a brand new culinary kitchen, state-of-the-art, over there at the Lincoln campus. So, you know, students are excited to be there. For some of those students, it really motivates them to be at school.
Like athletics is and music is for some, this is for others.
Absolutely.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website,
theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show
on KINS 106.3 FM,
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley,
and KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes. Michael, the concept of tests and getting ready for whatever post-high school options there are, does the culture suggest, require, push, reward visiting campuses, talking to people, getting out, getting informed, rather than waiting until April of your senior year to try to figure out, well, I can always go to fill in the blank. I could always do, I'm going to take a year off, and those types of things where pretty much the train's left the station for this year, and now you're just trying to figure out what you're going to do until the next train comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Is that strongly recommended through the culture to get out, make decisions, start to either say yes or say no in the sophomore year, in the junior year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I mentioned to you on the break, you know, we have this freshman seminar class for all our incoming ninth graders, which kind of provides them with the opportunity to develop that five-year plan. So 4 years of high school plus the year after. You know, what do you want to do in the future? And then what can we do to support you so you can have an opportunity to go out and see what opportunities there are in the future with this particular area that you're interested in? What are the partnerships within the community that you can tap into? What are the businesses that you could go and visit? So those are important elements because, you know, schools are just one part of our whole community, and we want to make sure that there is that partnership, that there is that opportunity for students to interact with the greater community and the greater business workforce.
Do the counselors get access to some of that information so that they can steer the kids, make suggestions, give them pointers on these that might be the classes you want to consider that you might not otherwise have considered at Eureka High? And here are some of the schools you want to start exploring, mm-hmm. if that truly is what your interest is?
Absolutely. Counselors are a critical piece of assisting our students in developing that plan and making some decisions so they can see beyond their senior year.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure, Brian.
Enjoy the rest of your week off. See everybody tomorrow.